which will include trivia coming up next. And Jesse also leaving?
I wish I was going to the game.
But you're not.
No. I'm going to the dentist.
which is not as great as going to the game.
No.
It's
a big bummer.
It is interesting that I'll be the last man standing.
I was originally looking for a way if I could duck out early to go to the game, and then I saw, I already have this dentist appointment, and I already rescheduled it. The dentist's appointment scheduling process really stinks.
Challenging.
Because, like, I had to reschedule it because my original appointment was the week of the draft, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it then. And then the next available thing was noon on June 20, whatever day it is, the 25th?
Fifth, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the next was like August? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, yeah. I got the same problem. And we go to a dentist that is in Sheboygan. You know, I get my hair cut in Madison. I go to the dentist in Sheboygan. We're very loyal people. And I've had to reschedule a few times. They've called me during the show because also I do have a 9 to noon window where I can't have my teeth cleaned. So bad oral hygiene on my part, but they're great over at Signature Dental in Sheboygan. Avid listeners to the program. Dr. Bastan, big fan of him. He's a big fan of us. All right, so speaking of big fans, Tausch, big Brewers fan. Huge. Trying to record or wait for the replay of the game. There is no way this is going to work.
No, not a chance.
What do our good people on the Carbless Talk and text line think?
Put your phone on Do Not Disturb is one of the texts that comes in from a 623 area code. Not familiar with that one. Always give us your name and where you're texting from so that we can give you proper credit. So we said you could just turn off or mute the chat that we're in, but that'll only do you so good because he said his brother's at the game.
Yeah.
This is going to capture the eyes of sports fans everywhere, and I'm sure people that are in Tausch's orbit will want to text him something about it if something significant is happening. So it's not just us who could bother him. So he's got to put his entire phone then on Do Not Disturb, and I would bet he doesn't know how to do that. Just if I
would agree.
If I was guessing, I don't think the big fella knows how to put the phone on Do Not Disturb. So
he here's the thing, and I did that when I was at UWGB last week because I would get calls or texts while I'm on our app that we use to sound like we're in the studio and would interrupt. And so that's great, but the problem is, and he mentioned, you know, the kids with stuff that they've got going on. Like, you also, if something, and hopefully it's, the odds are very tiny, but if something happens, you want to be accessible. So it is a sticky wicket that he finds himself in. By the way, 623 Phoenix, Northwest Phoenix, Arizona.
Nice.
What other opinions on the Carbless Talk and text line caught your fancy?
So some advice from Josh in Lake Geneva, who apparently has been successful recording a sporting event and watching it back later on. Stick with the live recording, not the replay on TV at 7 o'clock tonight. I can all but guarantee the score ticker on the bottom will ruin the results of the game during the replay. The networks never get that one right.
Great point.
That is a good observation. I did have that happen once. So in college, and this was, you know, pre a lot of the streaming platforms and all that other stuff when I was just straight cable. The Brewers played the Cubs one time, and because I was in Illinois, like, it was very rare to get to watch the Brewers game. So they replayed it at midnight, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this thing at midnight tonight because I missed it at 7 o'clock, and I didn't want to know what the result was. So I'm sitting in the room watching it, and suddenly on the bottom of the screen, the score of the Brewers-Cubs game pops up, and it says the final score there. So I went successfully 5 hours later, finally sit down to watch it, and then it ruins it in the first inning when you're watching it.
That's a really good piece of advice. You better text that to Tausch while he's still on the course before he actually tries to watch the replay, because, spoiler alert, it'll be at the bottom of your screen.
Uh-huh. And then our guy Jerry Ott in Canton, Ohio. Is Tausch just going to institute a going-off-grid policy for his entire golfing party to preserve
right.
the suspense.
Another good point.
There is no way that one person at this golf outing that he's at this afternoon isn't going to come up to him and say something about the game as it's ongoing while they're all sitting around. You telling me he's not going to go into the clubhouse for a Coors Light afterward and not accidentally run into somebody who says something or sees it on screen? Like, there's no way he's going to successfully avoid this. Well, if he was in a different setting, maybe. If you're, like, doing yard work, maybe.
Correct.
There's no way in this setting he gets by not knowing what happens in the game for 6 hours.
Totally agree. We'll find out together tomorrow. Time now for trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. There was a package on my doorstep yesterday from Vortex Golf.
Oh, was there?
There was.
Did you win a golf outing recently?
No, I did not, but I do have there's some thank you videos or thank you notes that need to be done by the two young golfers in my house, I believe. But we do have a swag bag on the line for Vortex Golf Trivia. Jesse, today is Wednesday. Tausch is not here. Is it still Wisconsin Geography Wednesday?
It sure is. I handled these questions myself, even though Up North Joe sent me some after I had created my own. I'm going to roll his over to next week. These are my questions for Wisconsin Geography Wednesday today.
Hey, since they're your questions, what caller would you like?
12 was pretty good.
Let's do 12 again.
Let's run it back.
We do have to do it quickly so you can get to the dentist. Caller 12 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 12 for trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. But I want-
This is fun. I'm not going to tell you where our contestant is located until after Big Voice Guy tells us about trivia and our great partnership with Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
First pitch is 110, but Brian, our contestant, is already in the AmFam Field parking lot. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Are you playing the show loudly enough that other tailgaters are able to enjoy it? And if those that aren't familiar with us are listening and going, oh, I got to start listening to that show, especially without Tausch on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to roll down my windows right now.
Thank you for your service, but you're supposed to have your radio off, so that won't work. All right, here we go. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Question number one is this. Congratulations to the Muskego Warriors on winning their fourth straight Division I girls soccer state championship last weekend. The state soccer tournament is played at Eline Park in which of these cities? Is that Uline or Eline? Uline.
I have actually heard it both ways. I think it's Eline.
Uline, Myline, Eline, wherever that park is it in Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or they might as well just play it in Muskego because that's where all the trophies are.
It's in Milwaukee.
It is indeed. Question two is this. Congratulations to the Xavier Hawks on winning the Division IV girls state soccer state championship last weekend.
Becca's cousin is on that team.
I was wondering what might be at work here.
Yep.
In which Wisconsin city is Xavier High School located?
Appleton.
Xavier High School. Oh. It's going to even give you a hint. It is in Appleton.
Dang.
The high school prominent alumni of Xavier include Tom Oates, columnist emeritus of the Wisconsin State Journal. All right, Brian, question three, so you can get back to tailgating, is this. Which of these teams, which all finished as state runners-up, traveled the farthest distance from home to compete in the WIAA state baseball tournament outside of Appleton and Grand Chute last week? Was it Seymour High School that traveled the farthest? Kewaunee High School that traveled the farthest? Or Badger High School that traveled the farthest?
I'm going to go with Badger.
Lake Geneva Badger is a correct. Wow. 3 for 3 from the parking lot. Brian, that means you got 4 entries into Friday's drawing for the Vortex Golf Swag Bag. Thanks for playing. Enjoy the game, buddy.
It's another time, fellas.
That is Wilde and Tausch trivia. Jesse, it's dentist time for you.
It's dentist time, fellas. And for all of you, it's hunter time.
Does Hunter, like, does he have a plan?
Hunter is someone who I think always has a plan, far more than the rest of us. He knows where he's going.
When did he find out that he would be coming in to pitch the 8th and the 9th of Wilde and Tausch today?
Preemptively yesterday around 4 o'clock, confirmed today about 7 a.m.
Oh, confirmed?
Yeah. We made the call to the pen at 7 a.m. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to him joining us. He is scheduled to take over for Jesse, leaving me as the last of the Mohicans on the program.
You're the best of us, Jason.
I am indeed. Jesse's also told me which days I could take off in the coming weeks, so I appreciate that. That is it for Jesse. Tausch is on a golf course. Jesse's on his way to the dentist.
The Miz!
Our show continues without them. And with Hunter Vaughn as our out-of-the-bullpen cousin sub of the day, next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Wow, I didn't know you had the same Diaz walk-up music out of the pen.
Of course I do. Coming out of the pen, I'm ready to go. I'm warmed up.
So if you're old enough to remember the film Major League, it's a wild thing. I don't know when bullpen closer music started. Was it already in existence, or did Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn in the film Major League create that phenomenon?
Well, that's one of my favorite sports movies, so I'm going to say that it created it because that just adds to the lore of that movie.
How old were you when that movie came out? What year were you born?
I was born in 92.
So you were not even a glimmer in Ma and Pa Vaughn's eye at the time.
Correct. Found that movie when I was in like my early 20s, and then I was
that late?
Yes, and I fell in love with it after I saw it.
God, it's great. It does stand I mean, it stands the test of time. It's funny no matter how old you are. A little risque at times, but still really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's weird when you watch that movie on cable and then you've actually seen the movie, and you're like, oh, geez, they change a lot in this, huh?
Some heavy editing is required. All right. Well, you are our Ricky Vaughn from the California Penal League, coming in as the closer to shut down Pete Vukovich. When did you find out that this was going to be your role? And what is it? My understanding, Jesse has, they've changed his role slightly, so he's not bossing you around per se anymore. He's still a well-known presence in the ESPN Madison ecosystem.
Yeah, it was, I got the request. The manager was like, you know, we might need your arm here late. Jesse's been running some innings, so I was warming up yesterday, getting ready, getting in a good mental space to get called in today. So I knew it was coming and then got the official call this morning.
The manager,
I mean, I use the manager. It was Jesse gave me the heads up. I'm not sure our actual manager, Ashton, knows that this was happening.
Because why would Jesse tell him?
No.
Did you consider saying no?
I did, and then I thought about asking for something in return.
Oh, I like it. And?
I didn't. I was like, you know what? I'll just do it.
You are so
nice. It's two segments.
Nice.
It's two segments. If he was asking for a whole hour, or this was half the show, then there's going to be something asked. Like, he's buying me lunch, he's doing something. At this point, I'm like, whatever, it's two segments. I come in here anyways to set up for Mr. Irrelevant, which we have at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube. But then, yeah, it's not, I'm really not doing much else right now. Alex Strofe has the show ready to go. We're good.
Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate you stepping in. Let's play. Do you want to play Woe Hunter?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. We go to the bullpen for Woe Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
So I would like to state this because I was not being in any way facetious. You are a really, really nice person.
Well, thank you.
You are. No, I it's true. I am curious, though. We do. Josh is in the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios regardless, right?
Yeah.
He's producing the show down there. Why didn't we just have me flip over to the Milwaukee connection, and then you wouldn't have had to come in for this six out save?
I'm not sure. I know Josh has gotten a lot of usage. You know, we got to save the arms in the bullpen. So I think this is just we're playing the long game.
Are you a position player? Are you a position player being asked to pitch in a blowout? Is that what you're saying?
A middle relief guy. And they're like, hey, you know what? Let's just use them for these two innings. Haven't had my arm get used in a little while. And then we can just rest the other guys.
All right. Well, while they rest, you have Woe Hunter. What's on your mind, Gerald?
No presidential conversation. We got to go to the WIAA. They had an advisory council meeting yesterday to basically move forward some possible proposals, and the big ones were in basketball with the proposal to go to a shot clock. That was voted against 6-4. So there will be no shot clock at least for the next 3 years now with the timeline of the way things would go.
Oh, 3 years.
Yeah, because you anticipate the way that this would work is if it was voted for and approved today, then there would be another vote. Or yesterday, there'd be another vote today. And then you give about 2 years for schools to be able to get the shot clock installed, make sure that they have everything ready to go, because you have to figure out JV and freshman courts as well. So it'd be about a 3-year gap here before we'll be able to potentially even see it.
Okay, so I saw Rob Domofsky on Twitter say this is just pure laziness by the WIAA. I do think it's worth, as a counterpoint, that there are costs involved for smaller schools and smaller school districts, and this would not be a completely inexpensive undertaking. I don't know how the finances of the WIAA work and whether or not they do anything to mitigate those costs for those schools. But you host Prep Mania. You know the dean, Dennis Semerow, who has been doing this for a very, very long time. What were your reactions? Because I think you guys have recorded that, and that'll be playing soon across ESPN Wisconsin.
Yeah, that'll be on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Dennis and I do talk about this. Dennis is very fired up about it. The big issue is the fact that over 30 states now already have a shot clock. Wisconsin is in the minority of not having one.
Okay.
And the main issue with the WIAA and the way things operate is it is very heavily controlled by the smaller schools, because there are more small schools than there are large schools. So what they want to do gets dictated. So then these like Madison and Milwaukee area schools, while they would be capable of it, they're fully ready to go. They would want to do this. It's the small schools that have issues with this. I understand. I grew up in a small school district. I get it why they don't want to do it, but it's time. We need to have the game of basketball be equal from high school up to the pro level. They need to figure this out. We need to stop having administrators be the one that make the decision on this. There weren't any coaches on this advisory council. This is superintendents, ADs. Like, these aren't coaches actually making decisions for the sport. It's a weird system that they have for voting these things in. So I'm ready for them to finally actually do it, but it's not going to happen for a while.
So they do take the coaches' opinions under advisement, though, because I was having a conversation with somebody who used to work for the WIAA, because as we're experiencing with Sydney becoming a freshman, there are a lot of contact days now. There used to be very few, and a lot of people would violate the rules, right? So coaches wanted more contact days, so the WIA gave them to them. So you're saying that the schools that don't want to have to fork out the money for this are most likely the ones they listened to on this decision. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and it's also like from a when there is an actual WIAA full vote, and they have all of the schools together, a lot of the decisions that get made and the voting lines of that line up with the small schools voting one way, and then a lot of times the bigger schools vote another way. You do get things that pass, and the big schools are in favor of it. It's not like there's this hard split in the state, but it is a... There's a lot more politics in high school sports than I ever thought there were. Mm-hmm. And now that I've been hosting Prep Mania and talking to the dean, learning a lot more of the politics of the way things get done in this state. And it's a really surprising thing. And I want to see a shot clock. The game needs to advance. We need to get these kids ready for the next level of basketball.
So let me devil's advocate you on this one point. And that would be, how many schools are taking the air out of the ball to such a degree that you feel like they are violating the spirit of the concept of a shot clock and getting shots off in a reasonable, maybe not always in 30 seconds, but in a reasonable time frame?
It's not happening on a random Tuesday night. You're not going to have many schools, I don't think, doing that. The issue comes when we get to a sectional final and a team's got a 6-point lead and they're able to just pass it around and hold on to it, and you're trying to chase the defense is trying to chase them down to get a foul, but they can't, and there's nothing holding that offense accountable for the clock as well. That's where we really run into those issues of teams doing that, is
so
when
you
we get
could,
postseason.
Could you conceivably have sectional finals with state on the line, be it facilities that have shot clocks and instituted, like the NFL does with overtime for the playoffs versus, I know they've now made it uniform, but in the past, they had separate rules for the playoffs compared to what they had for the regular season. Could you do that?
I'm in favor of that, or even allowing Division I and Division II, your larger schools, to have a shot clock. If anyone else wants it, both teams have to agree upon it for that game, and then you could go that route with it. I think they at least need to even go do a half measure that way, because these big schools are ready to go.
Right.
I've watched
and they've
enough
got the
of
money
these
to
games.
Do it.
Yep.
Right.
And these players are good enough. I understand if you're a Division V school and you just don't feel like you could compete and actually have quality basketball by doing that. I get it. I understand. Everybody else, though, is ready to go. The schools that really can't do that, it's such a small minority that we should have a shot clock.
Yeah, I think that's a fair... I just don't understand why there's not the idea of, hey, let's try this with the bigger schools that can afford the installation, and then we can work toward a solution toward smaller schools, because I don't understand why it was a thumbs up or thumbs down and nothing else.
Whoa, Nelly!
Real quick one, too, that also got under my skin with this vote. They voted down the idea of expanding the basketball state championship format from being 4 teams in each division that make it to Madison for state to 8 teams, and then they would use the Field House and the Alliant Energy Center. Comparable state, right next door, the state of Minnesota, has double the number of teams that make it to their state championship tournament. It's a much better weekend than what Wisconsin puts on. We should have more schools from around the state making it to Madison for the state tournament. That was also voted a no.
Refresh my memory before we run out of time. When I was covering it, I feel like the sectional finals now in today's day and age are in Division I are games that used to be played at the state tournament, right?
Yes, they used to do that, and then they had done a year or two of, I think it was called a Super Tuesday, and they would play over at UW-Whitewater, and then they got rid of it after that and have just gone to 20 schools get in, and then that's it.
Love that idea, and that would explain why it got voted down. All right, we need to wrap things up with Hunter having come out of the pen. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
There are moments where it feels like you're close, but taken holistically, those look like blips.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
To win a championship, you have to consistently be that team.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
All right, we got to get out of here, but Jesse's at the dentist. Tausch is on the golf course. He's trying to record the game and not know the outcome. Hunter, what's your plan for taking in Skeenus, as Tausch calls him, and the Miz?
I'll be watching along during Mr. Irrelevant. We'll have it on in the TVs here. I think a few people will be in the studios. Super excited in the office. It's the main talking point today in the office here in ESPN Madison.
Oh, and by the way, isn't the NBA draft like tonight, too, or tomorrow?
Yeah, the Bucks don't have a pick, and I don't know. I'm excited for Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Thank you. Is Josh Hader still good? Because this was like peak Josh Hader. You really closed it out nicely. Is he still good?
I think he's fine.
Trevor McGill. Saw you.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us today. Thanks to Hunter for stepping in. Thanks to you for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.